Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey.
What are you doing? It's time to start the show.
Oh, it is? I'm getting my notes here.
This is why they call it Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, because he does whatever he wants.
That's true.
All right, we've got something to talk about today, and I'm so glad that Halleck is here with us. I just listened to Halleck. He preached at the conference here at NAMM, and I listened to you preach on personal spiritual renewal. And I thought, man, because you rang the bell, brother. You really did.
Well, praise the
you
Lord.
Did.
Thanks for the encouragement. I hope it was helpful.
It really, really was. And I wanted to talk about this topic here as soon as I knew that this was one of the subjects we wanted to get into, because you lead an elder-led type of ministry
in your
church.
Yes, that's right. Yep.
And so I thought it'd be interesting to talk about which is better, an elder-led or congregational-led type of ministry. What? Let's talk about
well,
that.
Well, you know, what in the world could be controversial about that in Southern Baptist life?
Yeah.
I mean, does anybody even care, right?
Yeah, I don't care.
You're going to have elders, deacons. Doesn't really matter. Believe me,
it matters. It totally matters.
Hey.
Now, can I say something real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
I do want to make this distinction, though, because
go ahead.
We're Baptists.
That's right. There is a distinction.
There's a difference.
Okay.
Are we getting there, or do you want me to say it right now?
No, I want everybody to just stop what you're doing.
That's right.
Pull the car over, stop.
That's right.
And listen to what my brother's going to say.
Because I don't want these folks to think I'm not a Baptist.
Exactly. Tell me the distinction between elders and Baptist churches.
Elder rule.
Exactly.
And elder-led churches are different.
Very good point.
Okay, so as Baptists, we are elder-led.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the way we phrase it at our church is we are Jesus ruled,
mm-hmm.
elder led,
mm-hmm.
deacon served,
mm-hmm.
and congregationally affirmed.
That's brilliant.
So that's important distinction. I'm defending myself a little bit here.
Elder rule, they basically elders elect other elders, and the church has nothing to say about
that. That's right. We're congregational.
In the congregational led, the congregation elects the elders.
That's where the authority lies. Just want to clarify.
So,
I just want to say, Josh Halley, one of our listeners, he listens to us on his way to work all the time. I was just talking to him. So he pulled over just a while ago when you said pull over. So Josh, you want to know, now you can take off and get back to work.
Go back to work. Okay, right. So again, this is a controversial issue.
Yeah.
There's no two ways about it.
Yeah.
And let's talk a little bit about why Southern Baptists historically did not appoint elders. Well, first of all, are you ready? Hear me say this loud. Do not hear what I'm not saying. Both a deacon emphasis church mm-hmm. and an elder emphasis church in Southern Baptist life, both have been used to great effect.
Amen.
And both have been used to great distraction.
Amen.
All right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So you can't say one's better than the other. Sometimes you can point to one style and say, man, that has worked like great. Man, we got deacons and they serve and we got a church council and it's great. Others say, man, we got these elders that the church mm-hmm. elects. And then I've seen places where the elders just
mm-hmm.
mess it up.
Yep.
And I've seen places where the deacons mess it up. So in many ways, really isn't so much the form you take, but the men who are in those places,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
With that said, why have Southern Baptists historically not appointed elders? Now, Mark, you're new to Southern Baptists, relatively.
Yeah, I'm relative. I'm 14 years in.
Okay, that's pretty new.
Yeah, pretty new.
We've been around since 1845.
Yeah, yeah.
So
whippersnapper.
So Mark's been here for a cup of coffee, kind of, is the deal. And but in Mark's 14 years, the majority, and I'm very confident in saying this, the majority of church plants that have been started in this last 14 years, they have organized themselves around an elder elder-led model, not around a deacon-led model.
Right.
Okay, but the reality is, up until the last 20 years, you almost never heard of a Southern Baptist church that had an elder-led model.
That was so weird to me when I came in.
I can imagine.
So help us
but
understand this.
You got to understand that for many people listening who are Southern Baptists, what's weird is that you have elders.
I know, seriously. I learned that quickly.
I mean, that's Presbyterian,
dude. That's right.
We don't have elders.
I know, that's right.
We have deacons. And again, I think it goes all the way back to distinctives that we were distinctive from from Presbyterians, because they were very much, and others like that, very much elder ruled,
yes,
right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so the elders were selected, and then they selected other elders, and they were in many ways functioned as a church board.
It was more top down.
Yes.
Authority.
And so as Southern Baptists were historically extremely passionate about being congregational led. Mm-hmm. That's why when you, many Southern Baptist churches to this day, you're going to have those monthly business meetings where everybody discusses everything like a town hall, because that's actually what the New Testament tells us to do. Not really, but nonetheless, it is.
I'm trying to remember where that
is. Like, wait a
second. But no, it has become very much part of our culture.
Yeah, right.
And you could go back and say that was part of the whole pioneer Western movement of America and town hall. Everybody voice matters and congregational, and we're not top down.
Yep.
Okay. So they resisted the role of elder because for 100 years back in the 1800s and early 1900s through the middle of the 20th century, elders were thought to be those men who told the congregation what to do. Mm-hmm. And we don't have that in our church. Mm-hmm. We have deacons who serve the congregation, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. So what happened was over years, Southern Baptists developed this model where you had a pastor and a deacons. But the reality was this. The deacons functioned as elders.
As elders, that's right. Yeah.
My dad pastored for 50 years, and he had great deacons in his church. Mm-hmm. But interestingly enough, here's how it went. And listen, if you grew up Southern Baptist, this is going to seem so normal to you. We got to make some decisions in our church. Okay, first thing we're going to do is we're going to take it to the deacons. Well, deacons are there to do benevolence.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're there to serve the homeless.
Yeah.
They're there.
Which is true.
Are they there to make decisions? Like,
right.
Well, in Southern Baptist life, they were.
Yeah.
So my dad would bring it to the deacons. They would discuss it. And if they approved it, then it would probably go to the church council to see about the financing and all that.
And hold on. Explain the church council real quick.
The church council was the head of each of the organizations in the church.
Okay.
So the finance chairman, probably the worship leader or chairman, maybe even the WMU chairman, the brotherhood chairman,
building and grounds,
Sunday school director.
Okay.
All the officers which made the church council.
Made the council.
And
okay.
The good thing about that was you had lots of buy-in.
Mm-hmm.
The bad thing about that was everybody was sort of protecting their turf.
Got a lot of cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah. But anyway, so often you would go to the deacons. The deacons would discuss it, and if they agreed with it, it'd go to the church council, or sometimes the other way around, church council and then the deacons, one or the other. And then it would go on to the church for a vote, one way or the other, recommended by the deacons, recommended by the church council. And that's basically the way it worked. And the deacons formed two roles in Southern Baptist life. They did do deacon verb work. They were a verb. They mm-hmm, deaconed,
mm-hmm,
okay?
Yep, yep.
They would serve the poor. They would do benevolence. They would make hospital visits. And they always served at the Lord's table. That was it. Your deacons were the ones that served the Lord's Supper. But the deacons also served as sort of a council of advisors to the pastor. And theoretically, they had his back. Theoretically, they could kind of keep him informed if maybe he was getting off track. We'll take it to the deacons kind
mm-hmm,
of thing.
Yep.
And then we have this deacon family ministry where you would be assigned, you know, they would take the church families and divide them up and say, okay, this deacon has these 10 families, this deacon. And the idea was you were going to minister to those 10 families. So you got deacons trying to minister to families.
Wow. Yeah.
You got deacons really being an elder by being a counsel to the pastor. You got deacons serving the Lord's Supper. You got deacons doing benevolence ministry, and then many of these deacons were also Sunday school teachers, youth workers.
So they're basically an elder and deacon
both.
In one position.
Exactly.
Wow. This is what we did in our church down in Florida, down at Tequesta, Florida, because we had a number of deacons, and it was the same type of situation that Mark is talking about. It was so convoluted. You know, there was
different
things, and we finally decided, look, we serve by our gifts. Right? We serve by our spiritual gifts. Let's do a study with our deacons on what is your spiritual gift and how does God want to use it within the body?
Mm-hmm.
And what we ended up doing was we split the deacons into ministering deacons and administering deacons.
Interesting.
And so there were deacons that were responsible for the administrative responsibilities of the church, and then the ministering deacons, and they're the ones who took the family ministry and all of that stuff. And the ministering ones essentially served as trustees. Took care of the business affairs of the church. And it worked beautifully.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, so, you know, and basically every Southern Baptist church is self-governing, autonomous, but over time there became this standard that you would have deacons and they would do all of that. They would serve in benevolent and ministry, they would serve at the Lord's table, and they would be there as a council to help guide the pastor. But we did not have elders. We had deacons. They had that variety of roles. And again, historically, that was because we wanted to differentiate ourselves from Presbyterians and others who were not elder-led, we were congregational-led.
So, and they would say, we have an elder who is a pastor. He's our pastor.
Yeah, but they wouldn't
What do they do in the scriptures? What do they do with elder?
They would say in the scripture, elder and pastor are
they would say the same thing.
The same thing, but we use the term pastor so we don't get confused being
with the Presbyterians.
So we had pastors and deacons.
Well, why have we started this increase of elders and eldership within the Southern Baptist Convention?
All right. I think a lot of that has to do with young men who grew up in Southern Baptist churches, and they saw some of the dysfunction. Here's what they saw. And I know some great churches who had only deacons. I never grew up in a church. My dad had three churches. They were stellar congregations with some of the greatest men I've ever known. Mm-hmm. I'll name them: Clyde Lineberger, Cliff Lynch, Jerry Sutty, Gerald Ruff. These men, they meant more to my dad. They loved my dad. They cared for my dad. They loved me and my family. They cared for me. They loved people. They were evangelistic. They were great deacons. So don't hear me say anything negative about that. God used these men in an amazing way. But many times, younger people grew up in our churches, and they saw that the deacons were either really focused on ministry, and to that degree, the role of sort of the council, help the pastor lead the church was left weak, or they really focused on being that council that helped him pastor the church, and then the ministry was left weak. Yeah. They really couldn't do both very well. Mm-hmm. And also, we developed in Southern Baptist life a real strong idea of a single senior pastor, one guy. Mm-hmm. And I think as young men have become more interested in historical theology, even the Puritans, let's go back. Yep. We talked about that in a previous podcast with Jeff Chang from Midwestern about how the generation that Dan and I grew up in, we came to life in the 70s in ministry. We were not talking about the Puritans in the 70s, And I really came to my own in the 80s, mm-hmm. and I wasn't looking at the Puritans in the 80s. I'm just going to be honest with you. Yep. But I think God has done something, knowing the culture that we have, that we have to have men now who are deeply rooted in theology, mm-hmm. and he's given mm-hmm. us a hunger for these Puritans mm-hmm. once mm-hmm. again. So in young men looking at the Puritans, and let's be honest, there's no question that Piper, Sproul,
these guys have been
Keller,
highly influential.
They've been highly influential. Yep. And you know what? If you get your dander up and think, oh, wait a minute, wait, those are Calvinists. Yep. Let me just say, chill out for a minute, because those men believe the Bible from Genesis to the map in the back. Mm-hmm. And if you're my age, 63 years old, we are one flu season from heaven. But I got young men who are in their 20s who are pastoring churches, and I'm going to tell you what, guys. If the Lord doesn't come back, by the time they're 63 and 43 years, it's going to be a whole lot tougher for them to pastor a biblical church than it is for me. Wow. They need to believe. Yeah. And so God is raising up a generation who don't want to run from God's word,
Amen.
But run back to
Amen.
It.
That's
you
right.
better be grateful for that.
That's right.
All right.
That's
so
right.
in running back to that and looking at the Puritans and also having emphasis, no doubt about it, the whole passion thing.
Oh, yeah.
How
yeah,
that
yeah.
just woke up a whole generation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Then they said, wait a minute, there's a plurality of pastors in New Testament churches. So,
let me say this real quick.
Yeah.
Just another point.
Yeah.
I could hear you preach all day. I love it. But here's, I think, another thing that's really key with this generation. Two things. One is with the senior pastor model, we've experienced, my generation, so many senior pastors kind of rule. Quite frankly.
Yeah, absolutely.
And lead without accountability, fall morally, all these kinds of things.
Yeah.
So we're going, where's the accountability?
Yeah.
And I think the elder model, we look at the New Testament and go, man, this is a way to protect ourselves. This is a way we're better together.
Right.
And I think, like, what I see in a lot of young guys is dude, we want Jesus to be the hero,
right,
not some guy. And yet that competes with our flesh.
Exactly.
And the problem is in a senior pastor-led model, it kind of fuels pride a little bit. It can.
And of course, we live in a celebrity culture.
Yeah, that's right.
And so
that's
we're
right.
used to having one guy kind of be in charge. But again, going back, this younger generation who've looked back at the Puritans and looked back and things, wait a minute, there's a plurality of pastors. Timothy was not the only pastor in Ephesus. And you know, I'm sorry, but he wasn't. Yeah. There were other, he was a part of plurality. And so if there's a plurality of pastors, well, we have a plurality of pastors. We have a senior pastor who hires a Minister of Education and wait. If he can fire them, then they're not a plurality of pastors. They work for him.
That's the difference.
And so I just saying that, and look, doesn't mean it can't work. As I said, it worked in my life. Mm-hmm. God used great deacons and great staff members. My dad was a single pastor. He was married, but you know what I mean? He was a senior pastor who had staff, and he had deacons. And God blessed his ministry, and it was great. And I know there's some great churches I'm talking about I could name right now who have that model. So do not hear me say that model is not any good. But do hear me say that there are multiple ways to approach this, and a lot of younger men are saying, we think that the biblical model is a plurality of leaders, and we think it's better if you say elders help the pastor teach, because elders are supposed to be able to teach. Deacons are not necessary; they aren't required to teach, and deacons are there to serve the body. Elders are there to help lead the body.
See, and that's an important distinction too for those who are listening and may be confused, going, "Well, wait a second, what do they do with deacons?
Right.
It's just elders." Well, what you'd see is that we believe in elders and deacons. We just believe they're two different offices.
Right.
That are both marked by plurality.
Sure.
Both are marked by plurality.
Right.
And so, both called.
Both called. That's right.
And I will say this. Ways. The resistance to elders, the term elder and the role elder in Southern Baptist life, is rapidly waning. Part of that is, as the greatest generation, my mom and dad and Dan's mom and dad, if they've gone on to heaven, the greatest generation's gone, and they probably have the greatest resistance to it. And then we talked in a previous podcast about the builder generation, those born before 1946, they still have some resistance to it, but they're basically weaning away too. And as you get into boomers, if they become the matriarchs and patriarchs, they have less resistance to it. So I think you're seeing more and more reality. And it becomes more common. It used to be so uncommon.
That's so interesting.
Now, what I did at Warnell, when I went to Warnell, and we eventually, and by the way, guys, we don't have time. We only got like 4 minutes left here. But don't go in there and day one say, we're going to have elders. You're just a knucklehead if you're going to do that.
It took us 3 years.
Yes, just don't do that, okay? Yeah. Don't go with some kind of pride and say, well, I'm going to have a biblical church.
No, they've been
biblical before you got there.
That's right.
I mean,
that's
God's
right.
blessed
that's
them.
Right.
And don't be degrading what they've done and the men who've served, and they've done the best they could with what they have. And teach them and lead them to come to a place where talk about a plurality of leaders rather than elders. Because that word elder, for many of them, just brings a defensive thing. You've just got to – just don't use that word, because it doesn't mean the same thing to them as it means to you. But when I was at Warnell, just what you said, Mark, we didn't do anything for 2 or 3 years. Just love the people and serve what we had.
Yep.
But eventually, here's what we did. I never called them elders at that time when I was there. They do now. But when I was there, we called them pastor leaders, pastor/leaders. And we had another group called servant leaders. We didn't use the word deacons and elders. I said, we want to have two groups of folks here that help me with this church. I want a group of young men I can bring around me to help equip me to help lead this church. I want to call them pastor leaders. Now, many of them said, well, are these guys going to be pastors? Are they going to go to seminary? No, these are guys who are laymen in our church. But I could show them in God's word how that in the New Testament church, they raised up pastors from within. The idea that we go out in the free market and attract a pastor is a pretty recent development.
Yeah.
And I said, so we're going to raise up pastors. We're going to use that word pastor. And they're going to be pastor leaders. And they're going to help me. And I'm going to help train them to teach. We can do that. And I said, and our deacons over here, we're going to change your title. You still can call yourself a deacon if you want to, but we're going to call them servant leaders. Mm-hmm. So the servant leaders, we divide our servant leaders up. One group did benevolence. One group did hospital visitation. One group did when people passed away and bereavement. We had bereavement.
Yep, yep.
And one dude member care. And so we had servant leaders who did that. And frankly, Okay, buckle up, Betty. Here we go. Frankly, that's best done in teams of husbands and wives. And so there's a lot of Baptist churches who say, well, we don't want to ordain women as a deacon. Okay, I get that, if that's the case. But if you're having servant leaders, you're not ordaining them as deacons, so your husbands and wives serve as servant leaders. And if you're going to do bereavement, you need a husband and wife to go together. If you're going to go to hospitals, so we had husbands and wives serving as servant leaders, and then I have this group of men who served as pastor leaders. Mm. And it just, people go, oh, well, that makes sense. And they'd say, well, do you have deacons? Well, we have servant leaders. And sometimes they say, well, you have women who are servant leaders. They're not ordained. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Then they're not. And again, ordination's not in the Bible either, but that's another story for another day. Okay, we don't get up on all that. Okay, I don't know that we've done anything. So I think we answered most of these we have here. Oh,
yeah,
Ken,
I think what you've said very clearly is that it is possible to adjust your current model.
Yes.
To meet the needs of your church. But not only the current needs of your church, but the needs that are to come.
That's right. That's,
right.
I mean,
yes.
What you did, Halleck, is you were looking ahead.
Yeah.
3 years
right.
ahead, this is where we're probably going to be.
Yeah, right.
And we need to make the adjustment here to plan for that.
Yep.
Talk to that.
Yeah.
How do you decide where you're going to be 3, 5, 10 years from now?
Yeah. I mean, I think the heart of this, I think, is it really is how does God want us to lead a church in a healthy way? In a healthy way that is not personality driven.
Yes.
That recognizes the gifts of the body. And I would say men who are qualified and called to serve in different ways. I can tell you this. When I came to Calvary in 2009, and I'm the pastor, and we have two deacons at that time, okay? Two sweet guys, faithful deacons. We did the best we could. We started to grow, okay? And what you quickly realize is there's no way I can be the only pastor for all these people. If I'm going to actually do what the Bible tells me to do, to know the flock, to really know them, and to feed them, to lead them, to protect them, I can't do this by myself. And so you quickly go, man, we need other pastor elders to come alongside me, not as like junior or JV pastors.
Right, right.
And that's an important thing. It's not like Mark's the varsity guy and here are JV guys.
Right.
But we're on this team together. We do this. And then our deacons were the same way. We're like, we got to grow our deacon ministry. And then what you see now is, so at this point in our church, we've got 9 pastor elders. 5 of those are church supported, 4 are self supported, and we have 30 deacons. And what I can tell you is, this is like an army of godly men working together to meet both the spiritual and physical needs of the church. We could not shepherd our congregation the size it is in a biblical way if we hadn't intentionally raised up a plurality of leaders.
It's great stuff. Hey, we try to keep these to 20 minutes because we just try to do that. So we cannot cover this whole subject in 20 minutes. I realize that. We're not going to be able to today. But here's what I do want you to listen to. Are you ready? So when you are considering, should we change to elders, and I'll put these in the show notes, Kyle. Make sure we put these in there. Is what we're doing now working? Guys, if the Lord's blessing your structure you have now and it's working for you, don't be anxious to change it just because you want to be trendy and be like everybody else, okay? Check that out. Number 2, how broad is the consensus among our leadership for this change? Spend some time building. Help them understand what the Bible says, what you say, why you want to do it. Spend some time helping them convinced. And then ask yourself, why do we need this change? And then also, what happens if we don't make the change at this time? Mm-hmm. And then finally, can we currently adjust our current model to adequately needs? In other words, do not look at saying, well, if we could just get elders, we'd be fine.
Right.
You know, it may be that that's where God wants you to be and separate the deacons and the elders. I would say, I want to make it very clear that while I did say servant leaders can be husbands and wives, pastor leaders, elders in Southern Baptist life are complementarian.
Yeah, that's right.
And that is a role for the male leadership in the church.
Yep, yep,
so that
men.
I want to make that really clear so people understand.
And let
that.
Me just say one, there's so much here, but take your time. Take your time. You do not want to just throw in elders because you need to have elders.
Yes.
Or throw in deacons. You want to have the right elders, the right deacons.
The worst thing you can do, the biggest train wreck you can have is to say, well, I want to have elders, so I'm going to pick a couple of guys, and they're going to be elders, and then they turn out to be dumpster fires.
Yeah, that's right.
And then you've destroyed the whole concept of elders in your church.
No, that's right.
So don't do that.
Well, we talked about really important issues here, deacons and elders. What we have not talked about is ushers.
I've got thoughts on ushers.
Do you?
I like them.
Yeah, but I think we're out of time. Sorry.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor, or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.